Those who can do, those who cannot do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From TheBlogulator.com.
And Fancy Pants Gangsters Network.
This is Blogulator Radio. And some cats hissing in the background. My name's Chris.
And I'm Jerxica.
And we're here to talk to you about the wondrous medium that is television. Qualler and Bridget talked a bit last week about a cornucopia of things, and so we're going to do the same, especially about new shows on the air that we have either gotten a chance to watch and want to talk to you about our opinions of, and also there's a myriad shows that are just not in our grasp as of yet, because there's a little thing called life that gets in the way.
Sad.
Yes.
Reality.
It is.
We should just hunker down, like, in Portlandia when they watch Battlestar Galactica and they...
Exactly.
They lose their jobs and their electricity gets cut off. But the point is, they get through the series.
Right. And that's what matters most.
Maybe we just need to develop more commitment.
And then they hire an African-American Ronald D. Moore to write a new episode and get the cast to join them for a table reading. Now you're hearing the sound of cats eating... What is she eating?
I believe that's what's called a plastic bag.
A plastic bag. I don't know if there was diapers behind that or not. We're broadcasting.
We're having a child. We don't
it's
just
not
like
cat diapers.
It's no
cat
not, diapers. We're not into weird things.
We're broadcasting live from our future child's nursery. Thanks for taking care of that, Jerxica. Okay, so we're here to tell you about a lot of new shows, but probably the one that we're most excited about is one that we actually got a chance to watch this weekend, and it was suggested and recommended to us by all people by Jessica's dad, who is in town for our baby shower.
Who's Jessica?
Jerxica's dad. Jessica's mythical figure. Jerxica's dad reminded us about the new show Awake, which actually hasn't even begun to air, but the pilot is available through NBC.com as well as various on-demand services for you cable people. I've been looking forward to the show for a long time, so I was really excited to hear that they're letting the pilot out there. That's a new thing.
Me too. Yeah.
That's happening recently, where they're trying to build up hype in advance of the show's actual premiere. So I think we're kind of adding to it right now by podcasting about it.
I was a little afraid to tell you that I was excited about the show.
Yes. I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah. only because it is a dumb plot.
I see. This is where we very much disagree.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems, I don't know. It seems like it should be a dumb plot. But then when I saw the trailer, it was like, well, I don't know. This looks really interesting. So for listeners that haven't seen the pilot or a preview, Awake is about a police officer, a detective, who got into a terrible car accident, and either his wife or his son died in the accident. But he doesn't know which one. He's living two realities where he wakes up in the morning and his son is alive, and then when he gets home from work, it's his wife who's alive.
Yeah, or he goes to sleep.
Sleep, and then it's his wife who's alive.
Right.
So he doesn't know when he's dreaming and when he's awake. And he's seeing two different psychologists, both required by the police force.
Yeah, which is something I didn't know about until we watched the pilot, that it's actually, one of the... It's like a Departed-style thing where they're requiring it based on his traumatic experience.
Right, right.
And so the part that I do agree with you that's stupid is that it's another cop show. It's hard to escape those trappings, and that was probably my biggest fear going into it, is that it was just going to be basically this gimmick frame story to allow for various episode of the week, mm-hmm. procedural style mysteries.
Like that show that my mother likes about the guy that can't leave the hotel.
Yeah, okay. This Canadian show that somehow Jerks' mom got us watching on Hulu. I don't know what it's about. Some chess master that has agoraphobia and can't leave the hotel.
Because his wife got shot outside the building. Anyway, and that is just a stupid gimmick excuse for like a procedural.
Right. Where it's like, oh, he's a brilliant.
Right.
And for some reason, there's all these crimes happening at this particular hotel.
Right. And for those listeners who maybe heard our Law and Order episode and are saying, wait a second, you love procedurals. Let it be known that there's only room for so many, and Law & Order SVU kind of takes the cake. Plus, no one in new procedural seems to ask the question, whose semen is this? So, Anyway, so not a conflict.
Right.
Not a contrary view.
So that's what I was worried about going into Awake, but what I was excited about was the plot that you just kind of solidified, which is the fact there's two realities. And I think you should know by now that probably the reason why I don't think that's dumb is because I'm a Lost fan, and there's many aspects of that show that have to deal with alternate realities between characters' perspectives.
I thought you were going to say I should know you like it because you're emo. And I just have to say, well, there's so many, like, masculine emo, like, men on television right now. It just is, like, disgusting.
Masculine emo. That's interesting description.
Yeah. Like, well, because it is, like, it's like, who am I, God? It's me, detective.
Right.
Oh, wait. I can chase down the suspect with my gun and solve the case.
Right. And so that
check out my muscles.
That adds to the question of, you know, because the main character played by Jason Isaacs, he very much does not want to be seeing these psychologists to uncover what the nature of his problem is.
Right, but he still cries himself to sleep at night.
Yeah.
With his wife or his son.
He literally cuts himself in the pilot as well. So,
spoiler alert.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. Didn't tell you how or where, why. but it is very interesting that he's kind of forced to be introspective. And a lot of his mannerisms kind of require him to be very kind of stoic, combined with
how is this different
emotional?
Than emotional? But how is that any different than the character arc of like 24 or House? Or I mean, that there just seem to be so many characters
But it's the stoic part. It's the quiet kind of like heft that the main character has to have, which is both a masculine and emo trait.
Right. It's the
it's like
the Don Draper.
It's the cowboy thing.
Don Draper.
Right. It's the Don psyche. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm kind of sick of it.
I think that's where that's where it started.
Sick of it. Either man up or full out cry. You know.
You want him to be a softie or a hardy? Is what you're saying.
I don't think you should say hardy on the internet.
On the
interwebs.
Anyways, we were...
For those of you who got to this podcast by Googling Hardy, I apologize that you've instead found a TV podcast.
A Hardy Boys podcast.
Yes, I'm sure.
We're nitpicking a lot. We actually liked the pilot, right?
Yeah, no, what I meant to say is I think the premise is stupid, but I actually really enjoyed the pilot a lot. And I particularly like his shrink in the reality where his son is alive.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's hard to keep track of which is
the which. The shrink in where his wife is alive. The guy.
That's the guy. B.D. Wong, formerly of Law & Order Special Victims.
Yes!
There you go.
Yes, it all comes full circle. But I particularly like his character a lot, so.
Yeah.
He's great.
And you mentioned 24. Cherry Jones plays the psychologist in the other reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the dynamic where... I don't know if it was B.D. Wong or her, but one of them points out that he created the Cherry Jones psychologist because he wanted somebody that was comforting. And then versus the other psychologist, who's very more confrontational style, he created him possibly in his dream.
Right.
Because he wanted somebody to challenge him on his beliefs. Right. And you don't know which, because each one is perfectly plausible.
Right. No, absolutely. Anyway, good show. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how it proceeds.
You know, as I say that, it actually reminded me of the Homeland pilot, which felt like very much stuck between two binaries of which one is true. They make it very realistic that either what's his name? It's been a while since we watched that show. Whether or not Brody is a terrorist or not, and the same thing with Awake. They make it very, very realistic as to which one could be the dream or reality, or maybe neither of them. You suggested a first crazy Awake theory, which is that they're both actually dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I think your sister suggested
maybe he's dead, maybe he's and it's dead. Like a Sixth Sense kind of thing. I think it's going to go that direction.
I hope they don't go that direction.
But they could be both dead. That would be interesting.
They could also both be alive.
And he could be
No, but they could be both alive, but he's refusing. I don't know.
The fact that we have theories about it, though, means that we're interested.
Yeah, and the fact that you have theories means that I think someday I'll be able to get you to watch Lost.
Probably not.
Chris removes his hand from Jerks' shoulder.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
Okay. I'm sad now. Let's talk about another show.
All right.
I just want to talk about this real quick, and then we'll move on to talking about more comedies that you got us to watch. But what happens is, especially with comedies, I feel you have a lot more authority on them. I feel like one of the reasons why we got to watch Awake is because it's one of the few dramas that you're actually interested in seeing.
True, true.
And comedies are also, they're bite-sized, right? It's, you know, it's 22 minutes of your life, and so it's easy to watch it quick between, you know, work and going out to pub trivia or whatever. But we've been watching slowly, like we mentioned, the new season of Portlandia. Mm-hmm. We just started watching the new season of Cougar Town, which we're both very excited about.
Yes, very excited.
There's the return of 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also this show that I've been really trying to get us to watch, and I think I've mentioned it the past 5 or 6 times we sit down to watch TV, is Comedy Central's Key and Peele,
mm-hmm.
which is a 2-man sketch comedy show featuring 2 men that are of mixed race origins, and a lot of their humor is based around identity and, you know, whether they consider themselves black or white.
I was going to ask if you think there's room on TV for another sketch comedy show.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
Really?
Because I also wanted to say Saturday Night Live also always takes precedence.
Right.
Just because it's such an institution and because it's actually pretty good this year.
I think we say that every year, like shrugging.
Shrugging.
I think that our consistency in watching Saturday Night Live, combined with my inability to stay awake if we're trying to watch it when it's actually live,
mm-hmm.
Just means that we're getting old.
That's quite possible.
Whatever happened to Mad TV?
Why would you bring that up?
Well, talking about like the proliferance.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, well, kind of. I mean, no, I don't know. Did you watch it?
No.
I'm not asking you questions. Back
it's
off.
It's okay. I'm a big proponent of In Living Color.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's what I mean. Like in a universe where both SNL and Mad TV coexisted simultaneously.
Is that why SNL seemed so good in the late 90s? Is because it always was compared to,
'cause Mad TV was so terrible.
Right.
But cable show sketch comedy, I think there's a market out there for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why Portlandia's
I still think the best sketch show of all time is Mr. Show.
Well, yes.
It's pretty hard to beat. It's a pretty high level. We also, I don't know if you call it sketch comedy, but we hold Stella in high regard, even though we didn't enjoy Michael and Michael Have Issues, which were the same creators and actors.
Yes.
It seems like Comedy Central tries to kind of find a new foothold in the sketch comedy genre, but has failed multiple times,
mm-hmm.
Even in the ones that have actually been good. But I've heard nothing but good things about this one, and I actually saw a clip online that was shared through a friend via Facebook, in which the two main characters are playing against the black stereotype of the way they act in a movie theater, you know, talking and interacting with the screen. But instead of them, you know, saying things like to a horror protagonist, don't go in there, or what, anything like that, they're being like total film snobs. They're saying, so they start by saying, don't go there. Oh, he went into a crane shot. Like, have you ever heard of mise-en-scene? Put some information in that frame. And that's very funny to me because I got to share it with my film studies students at school where I teach, and we both had a good laugh.
We both, you and your one student.
Me and my one student, my one-on-one film studies tutoring.
You're not a
sessions.
Teacher at all, are you? You just go to the mall and like.
I just invite somebody.
They're like, hey kid, want to watch a movie? Oh wait, that sounds bad.
No, I'm glad my last name isn't attached to this. Anyways. That's just a short thing I wanted to mention because I'm really psyched to see it, and hopefully we'll watch it between now and the next time you hear from us on Bloggy Later Radio. What are you most excited about comedy-wise on TV right now, Jerksica? There's Cougar Town, 30 Rock, Portlandia.
Well, I was unbelievably excited about 30 Rock returning.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of hesitation about it just because it's been kind of hit. They've had some good seasons and some kind of rockier seasons, and I didn't know if the hiatus would be good for them or bad for them. But now that that's been on for a few weeks, and I think it's been very good. I think we've laughed pretty heartily at the return of 30 Rock. Mm-hmm. I've kind of moved on and am most excited about Cougar Town returning.
Yeah.
Because
even though you fell asleep.
Again, I'm old. I'm old.
When we watched it.
But I mean, that's been off the air for almost a year, right?
Yep.
And mm-hmm. that's a crying shame. Yeah. One, it was really difficult for them to make references to Cougar Town on Community without it being on the air anymore.
Except for the Cougarton Abbey.
Right, right.
Also Downton Abbey, right. Another show we have yet to watch.
Two, because your ongoing enjoyment of Cougar Town is just further validation to me that I can win arguments over what's funny.
So there's a lot of people on the internet talking up Cougar Town and how great it is despite its title, but Jerkska has been there since the beginning.
Since the beginning.
Since episode one, when it actually was about
a terrible, cougars. Terrible premise about, this divorced cougar getting back on the man market.
Right. You watched it like the day it came, the day it was aired the first time.
Mm-hmm, I did. And I, you know what? I'm not ashamed. No regrets.
No. And you know what? I still don't think it was a good show then.
No, it probably wasn't.
But
it was probably the second or third episode where they started.
Why did you stick with it?
Okay, first of all, I've listened to you and Qualler and Bridget talk about how you sat through 4+ episodes of Vampire Diaries until that caught on.
That's different because that's drama. You can't compare the two.
I think I can. It's all about your commitment, I guess, dedication to getting through it. But no, because I think it was really like the second episode where they started inserting like some of the funny elements that I think eventually mm-hmm. took over the show, mm-hmm. where you were like, wow, this is really boring to like watch her talk about like how saggy her boobs are getting now that she's 40. But but then it'd be really hilarious, like interactions with her neighbors or other characters, and you're like, wow, this is kind of interesting, and you'd have scenes where you kind of laughed out loud. And so then I was interested to see where it was going to go in the third or fourth episode, and then it really did start to just, the whole show morphed into not being about her and about her like dating scene, but about their group of friends, and it's just a sincerely funny show.
Yeah, and I mean, I was pleased with that transition because now I'm a huge fan. But I think the nicest thing about that show compared to like Happy Endings is also a show that we like a lot, where it's just about a group of friends. But the thing about Cougar Town that I think not a lot of people are talking about, especially the ones on the internet that are trying to hype it, being like, no, it's a great show, it's about this group of friends. Like, that's not going to get anybody to watch the show.
Right.
Like, especially with Happy Endings, like, I like that it's similar to, you know, your classic Friends show, but I think, like, the fast-paced dialogue and the quirky nature of the characters is very singular and very much making it its own identity. Mm-hmm. But with Cougar Town, I think the big part of it is that you've got an older set of friends. And usually when you get the friends, you get them, like, you get them on Friends
That's true.
Or Happy Endings, where it's the late 20s, early 30s, like, oh, what am I doing with my life kind of thing. But Cougar Town, like, these people know who they are, know what they're doing with their lives, and they're just drinking wine and trying to get through it, basically.
Playing penny can.
Exactly. And that's
penny
just
can.
So refreshing to me, especially as somebody that's now crossing that threshold of 30-dom.
Right. Well, and I think something like Happy Endings, it's like the characters, like you said, are really quirky, but like to the point of absurd situations where you're like, oh, this is hilarious. Look at these guys and their hijinks.
Right.
But then you watch Cougar Town and it's never really like that. It's more like, wow, they're really funny and they have a good time together. And oh, by the way, I have really great friends and I miss them and I want to hang out with all of them right
now.
Yeah. Like there's a little sentimentality.
There's almost an absurd amount of sentimentality in Cougar Town, but it's never done schlockily or like saccharine. And that's really impressive to me. I want to talk about specifically the first episode mm-hmm. of the third season.
I did see some of it. I didn't fall asleep
right away.
Yeah,
that's true. You did miss the most sentimental part, though, because he woke up at the end of the episode, and I was like, you missed Grayson and, spoiler alert, getting engaged. What's Courtney Cox's name on the show? Jules.
Yeah.
And they did it in such a fashion that, I mean, you get proposal, the big proposal episode, and a lot of
things. You're gonna say you get proposals all the time.
You get proposals.
I walk down the street and chicks are like, "Hey, that's my chick voice." Hey, want to get hitched?
Hey, I got a ring over here. But the way that they set it up was, they made it seem like it was just going to be another, you know, plot where Jules and Grayson have this, their misunderstandings about each other growing in their relationship. And this one was about how predictable Jules was. And they kind of, I mean, I kind of saw it coming because I read some unfortunate spoilers online before we saw it on demand. But I don't think if I had known that, you would have figured it out. Because you saw probably 2/3 of the episode and didn't realize that was coming,
no,
right?
It seemed like a comedy of errors type situation. Or...
Yeah, but it was so well done because when Grayson actually ends up getting down on one knee and, you know, for reasons you'll have to watch the episode to find out, they're in the midst of TPing this person's house. It's not only like very aesthetically pleasing because it's kind of a cool shot of them getting engaged with their friends on looking in all black camouflage while there's toilet paper in the trees. He does it in such a way where he ties in the first plot of the show or the A plot and brings it down to the surprise subplot of he's been planning to marry her because he feels like he's known her so well by now that he can predict her, and that's not a bad thing. And that's another part of the growing old thing. It's not like hijinks based. It's more based on how comfortable they feel around each other.
Right.
And that's a huge part for a sitcom that we don't see it often because it's so based on people being wacky usually.
Mm-hmm. Well, they still find themselves in wacky situations, but it's usually like believable, I've done something really socially awkward type situations that I find myself in all the time. That reminds me, I'm thinking, you know, when you re-propose to me, as you do on every anniversary, I think that you should do a proposal in the style of a different proposal episode of a TV show every year.
And we'd get a divorce unless you could guess what the episode was.
Okay, so it's like... There's a carrot. There's no.
Oh yeah.
It's just a stick.
You gotta do.
No carrot.
You gotta do your research.
It's if like
you
a. It's like a.
This.
All right. We'll see how all that works out. Is this like a jigsaw type of matrimonial situation here?
But TV sitcom style.
Right. Right. Because I just lose my contractual obligation of marriage as opposed to like chewing my own leg off or something.
Right. Exactly. Because you need to appreciate what we have here, Jessica.
All right.
Jerkska.
I think I just made a parallel between marriage and chewing my own leg off and just used slid right by.
It's not the first time.
All right.
What else do we have to talk about? I want to talk about a couple more dramas, especially because I watched a pilot of one that you didn't see. And so let's play a little game in which I've got a show that I watched. It's called Alcatraz on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested because it was from J.J. Abrams, the creator of Lost.
Oh, okay.
One of the creators.
And Felicity. Which is
correct.
What I know him from.
And it's
some other show we watched briefly that I can't remember.
J.J., he's done so many shows by now.
Mm.
He just stamps his name.
Did he do one of the dinosaur shows?
No. Did he? That, I don't know. Who cares?
Okay.
Let's forget about that. I don't even remember what that's called now. I want to call it The Lost World.
Okay.
But it's not. The show is called Alcatraz. One of the stars is Sam Neill from Jurassic Park. And it's J.J. Abrams created.
Who was he in Jurassic Park?
You know, the main guy.
The main guy.
The main guy with the hat.
He was a dinosaur?
Yeah, T-Rex. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
No. You know, the guy.
In my head,
the father figure.
In my head, everyone's Jeff Goldblum in that movie.
Are you kidding me?
Including, like, the little girl.
It's just a bunch of Goldblums.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to ask me questions about the pilot of Alcatraz.
All right. Is the protagonist kind of emo?
Okay, so here's the protagonist problem, is that I had no idea that the person who's actually the protagonist was the protagonist until I started watching the show.
Okay.
So the setup is you've got all the prisoners from Alcatraz, supposedly, which they didn't want us to know.
Oh, okay.
One day disappeared.
So this takes place during, it's not like modern Alcatraz.
It goes back
like...
and forth. So they show you back in 1960, whatever. All the prisoners one day just disappeared, and the two guards that were on duty say, "We can never tell anybody about this."
Is this an A-Team crossover? Is that what this is?
What made you think of that?
Prisoners, didn't they disappear? Something?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's the origin of that whole thing.
Okay.
Anyways, and so they make it seem like the guy... So what happens is in each episode, a new prisoner reappears in modern day.
Oh, okay.
And you don't know why.
Okay, so it's like they're... where the prisoners are now that escaped or whatever, yeah, or disappeared in the
60s? Right.
Oh.
And they haven't aged. And
they haven't
just,
aged?
Then they just show up.
They're vampires. Is this a vampire crossover?
We won't find out until much later.
Oh, this is a vampire crossover.
And so...
Vampire Diaries, Alcatraz edition.
So the pilot really makes it seem, and also from what I'd read and seen clips of,
mm-hmm,
made it seem like the guy that reappears in modern day, the first one anyway...
Is the protagonist. But he's not.
Because they follow him, and then he's like a horrible actor, absolutely dreadful. And I'm like, this is the guy they picked for their main character? And then all of a sudden it switches perspective to a detective in modern day who's... grandfather was a guard at Alcatraz, and she, like, her partner died because he was shot by some guy that they were never able to catch, and it turns out that guy who shot her partner was one of the prisoners on Alcatraz as well.
I followed none of that sentence.
That's fine, because it really doesn't matter. Anyways, the detective is actually a girl that is the main character and is very similar to Anna Torv on Fringe,
uh-huh,
except that she's attractive. And so she... really has very few legs to stand on as far as
acting,
getting me hooked. No, she's a decent actor. She's better than the guy who disappears.
If you're married to Anna Torv.
I don't think Anna Torv is a bad actress. I think she's just cold, and it's impossible to sympathize with her. But it's very...
Well, it's good enough for Juliana Margulies to win an Emmy, so...
It's very much an example... Okay, we're not... It's very much an example of what we were talking about earlier when we discussed Awake, in which you've got... a detective show that's trying to use, like, a clever or gimmicky frame story to keep it going in the background.
But I don't think this, like, can go much farther than, like, a season or two.
But that's the question, is how long or how many Alcatraz prisoners could they possibly go through before somebody's like, I've solved it. This is why they're reappearing.
Right. And at some point, do you stop caring?
Yeah, you definitely stop caring at some point. And I think
the first episode?
I think midway through the second episode is when that happened for me.
All right.
But I am glad that the first prisoner that reappears is only tangentially related to the show now. Like, they've got him locked up in a new secret facility, and so they go to him being like, what happened to the rest of them?
Seriously? They still care about prisoners that were at Alcatraz 50 years ago?
Well, because Sam Neill is the guy, one of the guards from when that night happened, and so he holds a vendetta against whatever happened that night on his watch.
Since I don't know who Sam Neill is, I'm just going to picture him as the characters of Sam and Neill from Freaks and Geeks combined into one person.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Okay.
Anyways, Alcatraz. It's a bad show from what I've seen, but I'm still interested in watching it because...
Why?
That stupid... frame story bugs me so much. I want to know what happened
to
the prisoners.
You know, read some blogs or something.
I probably will. Because as we've been talking about, there's not enough time to watch the
TV. No, there's not enough time to watch
TV. I don't want to devote it to that. I want to devote it to Justified.
Ugh.
Which I just started finally catching up on the new season. And I'm very psyched about. But we'll save that for another episode with somebody that actually watches that show.
And who likes Westerns.
You're so confused. Just because he wears a hat doesn't mean he's a cowboy.
We'll see.
I think that does it for us.
This
week's episode of Blogulator Radio. I also want to watch The River on ABC and Life's Too Short on HBO, the new Ricky Gervais show. But we'll have to catch up.
Is that about life being too short to actually watch all of the television that we want to? High five, listeners.
It's about Warwick Davis, actually. From Willow. You know, the short guy. From Willow. The guy.
I don't know how to make a cricket noise, otherwise I would.
We are going to leave it to Queller and Bridget next week. Also, stay tuned. Sean from theblogulator.com, which you can find the written version of our spiels about television at,
mm-hmm,
and other pop culture musings. Sean and I will do our first episode together to talk about The Walking Dead, a show that we have been catching up on.
Are shows like The Walking Dead or The River or any of the shows we've talked, mm-hmm, about tonight, are they on Netflix?
Oh, thank you for mentioning that, Jerkska. Yeah, you can catch the whole first season of The Walking Dead and Downton Abbey, which we mentioned briefly earlier, as well as many of the shows that we discussed, first season of Portlandia, at Netflix.com. But if you want to get a free 2-week trial courtesy of Blogulator Radio and Fancy Pants Gangsters Network, go to bit.ly/blogflix. That's BLOGFLIX. And you can get not only a free 2-week trial of Netflix, but get that courtesy of Like we said, us and Fancy Pants Gangsters Network, a totally volunteer-run podcast organization, and it's totally a great way to support us since we are doing this for free. That is all from us. Go to thebloggulator.com and catch up with us there. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus as well. Thank you, Jerks Cup, for another excellent night of talk and television.
And you too, sir.
Your joy, sir?
You and too,
because
sir.
Because our opinions are valid.
Brush your teeth, wash your face, check your nose just in case. Eat your breakfast, bacon and eggers, take your pills so you won't get preggers. Morning routine song.